Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home near Branson, Missouri, looking out over my beautiful deck, out over the beautiful nature. We just saw a deer run across my backyard. I live kind of in the treetops on a bluff over the lake, and I see the beautiful blue sky and the blue waters, but I know that there's controversy. Actually, years ago, some of you have heard me talk so much about Brother Halverson, a man of prayer, deep prayer, great prayer, probably on the highest level of prayer I've ever seen. He and Rachel Tiefenthaler and a few others, including Brother Hagin. And we had been in a meeting, and Brother Halverson came home from that meeting. He sat down his suitcase there in the hall of his home. He had two homes, one in Tulsa. And he went to lay down in his bed, and he came out of his body. And he suddenly saw a group of people. He was lifted up high above the earth, and he saw a group of people. And in his little Norwegian accent, he said they were marching into God. They were praising him and ascending ever higher, ever higher. And he said, I was caught up with them, and for the first time in my life, my body didn't hold me back. I could just keep ascending and ascending as I prayed. But then he said, I heard the sound of war. And I looked to the side, and there I saw warring angels. He said you could tell from their breastplates, from their what they wore. They'd been in many battles. And he said, I recognized that sound of war. He said, I recognize that I had entered into it every day. And they said, come with us. Or he was told to go with them. He said, I didn't want to go with them. I wanted to go with the people who were marching into God. But he said, they took me over the earth. And they took me into the second heavens, into the mid heavens, where the prince of the power of the air and his forces, some we've known as the king of Persia, the king of, the angels that they're in the book of Daniel, they had to work and fight against these spirits, the angel over Persia, the angel over Grecia. And he said, there they were. And he said, I realize that every day I enter in and out of this place. And he said, they took me over the earth to the places of greatest conflict. Now, this is what, 25 years ago. And he said, one of the great places was Indonesia. But he said, last of all, they took me to the place of the greatest conflict. And the greatest conflict of all was over Jerusalem. And so that conflict is going on. And we're talking about it now. There are two sides. Satan has a side. God has a side. Years back, because I was so busy and I was doing some things, getting to listen to the President of the United States, other different things. And my schedule was so busy, I didn't think that I had enough time to give myself to Champions for Christ, which is going on this year's Champions for Christ, goes on next week. And it's not too late to get your young people in there. And so I woke up in the morning, and the Lord just gave me the whole youth sermon. And he gave me the title. And the title is, Who is on the Lord's Side? This is what I'm going to be preaching to teenagers and younger. And so I recognized the phrase as biblical, but I had forgotten who said it. And so it took me until 3 o'clock that afternoon to find it in the Bible because I was busy that morning. The most outstanding event since creation was taking place. God the Creator was giving to man his written word. For 2,000 years, man had not had the written word of God. While Moses was in the mount receiving the word, Satan, the adversary of God and his plans, tempted the people of God to build and worship a golden calf. You see here, Satan, how he's against. I mean, they're getting the written word, and he's down there working furiously to stop this people from being able to receive it. Exodus chapter 32, verse 19. Moses saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink. And when Moses saw the people naked, now they weren't actually naked, but they were probably, I would say they had thrown off their outer garments and they were spiritually naked. And when people, not all their garments, but maybe their robes of identification. And when Moses saw the people naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Now, the Lord here is Yod He Vav He. It is his name, the name which is above every name, the name which we mispronounce, Jehovah or Yahweh. Nobody knows how to pronounce it. Hasn't been pronounced in years correctly. Who is on, I'm sure he said it correctly that day, but I'm just going to mispronounce it. Who is on Jehovah's side? Let him come unto me. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Judgment. For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to Jehovah, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." Abraham Lincoln, I have a book, I really like Abraham Lincoln, and I have a book of things that happened in his life that people were witness to. It's a very old book, and the people in this book knew him, and they were put together from them. And so in this book, under the heading, "This Nation Should Be on the Lord's Side," is this vignette. A member of the church at a reception closed his remarks with the pious hope that, quote, "The Lord is on our side." "I'm not at all concerned about that," commented President Lincoln, "for we know that the Lord is always on the side of the right. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side." Now, as I'm waking up in the morning and I'm receiving this revelation, remember, he's given me this sermon. He says, "Then say," he reminded me to tell him that story. He said, "Then say that God has a side on every matter concerning mankind. Say that God's side is revealed to us in his word, the Bible. Say that God has a side on Israel. It is revealed in his word." The greatest miracle since Bible times is God's bringing the Jews back home to their promised land. All the prophets foretold it. It would be a sign of the coming of the messianic visible kingdom. Miraculously, God has brought them home. That night with the youth, I showed many pictures of Jews coming home that I have, you know, on my PowerPoint. And I declared the Lord's side on the matter, that the Jews would come home and possess their land, and that the nations would be judged as to whether or not they cooperated with God's plan. There is a judgment for those who divide the land of Israel. Joel chapter 3 and verse 2 says that God will take them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. When the end judgment comes, he will judge them there who divided or parted my land. Then, at the time that God gave me this, there was a controversy going on about Gaza. And today, there is a controversy going on about Gaza. From Gaza, they are shooting rockets into Israel. Gaza has become a terror stronghold, an encamping ground for terrorists against Israel, those who are against Israel and against Israel's God. That night, for the kids, we showed a PowerPoint picture of our two trips into the Gaza Strip this year. Now, the time I had gone already twice. Why? Because of what was going on over Gaza. Ariel Sharon, really, I had very close association with Ariel Sharon. And he was the Prime Minister of Israel in 2005. And Shelley and I were in Israel. We'd been there several times, but we were in Israel. And I read in the newspaper that there was going to be a protest down in front of the United States Consulate against our government doing certain things against Gaza and again and for encouraging Ariel Sharon to give up Gaza. And so I told to Shelley, you want to go to the protest? She said, oh, Mom, I've always wanted to protest, but I never found anything worth protesting. So we went down and we stood in front of the United States Consulate because our country won't recognize Israel, Jerusalem, as Israel's capital. We have our embassy in Tel Aviv. But so we went down in front of the consulate and we marched. And there was a man there, David Bodine, and he is a head of a press a deal at that time. And so he said, do you want to go on a protest with us? You want to go with the World Press tomorrow into Gaza? He said, I need someone on my side. We said, we'd be glad to. So we got on a bulletproof bus, and we went with the World Press into Gaza. That time, it had not yet been given away. It was a very beautiful place. Now, on this bus with the World Press, there's the World Press from Britain, World Press from Germany, Reuters, however you say that. There were people there, AP, and then Shelley and I were in the front of the bus. And as we were driving in, we saw this sign that said Gerar, G-E-R-A-R. And David Bodine, the Israeli press person, said, this is biblical Gerar. A light dawned upon me. And tomorrow we're going to be talking more about Gerar and Gaza and God's will. I would like to send you, for $1 each, two little books I put together, God's Promises of the Land of Israel, of the land to Israel, and another small one. These are just scriptures in a pocket mini book. And the other one is Judgment of the Nations for How They Treat Israel. Those I'll send you for $1 each plus shipping. Then if you would like to have the Mountains of Israel, this is a big book, and it's the Mountains of Israel, the Bible and the West Bank by Norma Archbold. We'll send you that for, it's a $10 book. We'll send it to you for $5 plus shipping. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and request either one of my little books for $1 each, or the Mountains of Israel for $5. Shalom, shalom.